and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
Today's podcast is all about how to motivate yourself, and we thought this would be a really interesting topic to talk about because we do get asked it quite a lot, and then also there's so many factors that actually play a part in how we stay motivated, how you drive yourself to do things, whether it's to go to the gym, whether it's to stay in a calorie deficit, whether it's to motivate yourself with work, whatever it is. So we thought we'd start off by saying how we actually stay motivated and our experiences.
Yeah, I think this is actually something I haven't really prepared for on this podcast, just to talk about how I stay motivated. But I think for both me and you, it's probably a little bit different to most people.
Yeah,
would you say? Just because it's obviously our job to motivate other people, first and foremost. Give people a level of education.
To go to the gym.
Yeah,
it's our job to go to the gym.
It's our job to go to the gym and obviously stay in shape and be accountable. I'm not saying that every coach, the world's best coach, needs to be in shape. If you look at most bodybuilders' coach, they look like a fat Buddha. No offence to Hani Rambom. Really good coach. But you don't have to be in shape. Obviously, it's good to have had that experience and put yourself through some things. But it's our job to pretty much stay accountable to doing that. So I think it's a little bit different for us because that is a big driver and motivation for us to go to the gym, to stay in shape, because we want to help other people via our experiences and our education.
Yeah, 100%. And I was saying to Ben before, obviously, as individuals, everyone does want to have that kind of element of motivation and they want to reduce their demotivation to do things as much as possible. Now, I was brought up in sport. Like, I did sport from when I was literally born, like 4 years old.
Swam out the womb.
I did sport from such a young age. And I think if you're a sporty person, or you have been when you were little, you already have different cues to motivation. So from the age of 10 to 18, I was pushed on a daily basis. So I kind of had that motivation and drive to do something drilled with inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where my background comes from. And I've carried that through. I carried through studying. I carried through university. I was motivated to get shit done, essentially. And because I had so much going on, I was trying to build a business. I was trying to do a dissertation, influence, everything like that. I kind of had to be. It's like I had no choice not to be. So I focused on motivating rather than thinking about being pessimistic.
What we're going to talk about later on is obviously habits and routines. And obviously from sport, that is massively what you got. Yeah. And I think that's why it's really important that not only young people and kids get involved in sport, because it helps with a lot of different things, including motivation. But one of the questions I always put on people's questionnaire when I'm doing programming is, what sports do you enjoy?
Yeah.
Because it's important. I think sport gives you a hell of a lot, as well as going to the gym. So I think it's important to think about what sports that you enjoy doing, because it can still give you more structure along with your weight training regime and stuff as well. And when I was a kid, I played football, rugby, cricket, tennis.
Yeah, every sport.
Everything which didn't involve water or swimming.
Ben's fear, whereas I have a fear of big dogs, Ben's got a fear of water.
Yeah, and it's terrible. On that note, by the way, what we just applied for this week.
Can we just appreciate, this is probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. We've applied for the SAS Who Dares Wins. If you've been watching it on TV, you'll know I'm terrified.
What a motivation that is, by the way, too.
I know, that's okay. So that's the motivation to bloody, I need to start running and stuff. Jesus, I'm carrying Ben on my back. Yeah, hilarious though. We actually do get on that programme.
Yeah, I've got, as I was saying to the other day, I've got an event at the end of this month with
Aunt Middleton. With his posh beard.
Strong beard. I think it's at ASDA HQ with USN, so that'll be interesting to get some insight from him as well. But this leads on very nicely to, again, reasons why and how you can stay motivated. So there's two sources, so to speak, of motivation, and they can be intrinsic or extrinsic. So intrinsic motivation is sort of within the person. So for example, what Lisu was explaining before.
Yeah, so it's like having your own self-drive. Maybe It could be you want to go to the gym because you want to have better health, or you want to look a bit aesthetically better,
yeah,
or
and
you
want to
build your glutes and it makes you feel amazing and you get a lot of serotonin from going to the gym. And then we have the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, on that intrinsic motivation, though, just to put it like into perspective, it's like when you are in the mirror, maybe you're on a bicycle and you're like, fuck yeah, look ooh, massive look there. Good. I didn't see that vein there last week. It makes you feel good because it's intrinsic and it's making you feel a certain way.
Didn't see that vein. Or girls, you didn't see that booty pump last week. Yeah. There we go.
On the other hand, like extrinsic might be looking at someone else who's you see in the gym and like, fuck, he's massive, bro. Like,
yeah,
I would love to get swole and jacked as shit like him.
Yeah.
But another source of extrinsic motivation, like we've been talking about before, might be something like a holiday or some time away.
Or a reward. Yeah. It could go for dinner. Like there could be the smallest thing. Like we've worked so hard the past couple of weeks and we're celebrating Valentine's Day together and going for a nice posh dinner. And it's those sort of rewards. And we're going shooting.
Clay pigeon shooting. No animals.
And we also, this is how we actually run our challenges on the My Coach School. The winner of the challenge, we send them on holiday. So some people, they go wherever, Dubai, Croatia, Barcelona, Rome. There's so many different places. And throughout those 8 weeks, obviously you're doing it for yourself. So you're doing it for that intrinsic motivation. You're accountable to everybody in the group and yourself, and you're following a program. But then also you've got that slight chance of winning a holiday. So it massively motivates you.
It's a case of, right, you've got a set time frame, you've got a window, you've got 8 weeks to prepare, you're doing it with other people, so you've got support. And then at the end of being probably in the best shape of your life, like most people are when they finish the challenges, you get to go and get pissed on all day.
Yes, you do indeed. And you feel good in your bathing suit or whatever you're wearing.
Exactly, you feel better in yourself whilst you're having a couple of gin and teas.
Yeah.
I like a couple of gin and teas,
I don't know, that's just wrong. That's so wrong.
I do apologise. I know, I'm doing it wrong now.
But this moves us on to your reason why. And this is probably the most important thing. And I was saying to Ben before, my reason why and what motivates me is probably a little bit different to him, even though we do the same thing, we work together, we are together. But my reason why is I'm motivated to empower women, and I want to empower women on a daily basis. So doing what I do in the gym, I know it's going to help other people. Like we said, it is a little bit different with our jobs and things like that. But that really, really motivates me. I'm also motivated because I want to get strong as hell. So in terms of performance goals, I set myself performance goals every 5-6 weeks in the gym. And that's something that massively motivates me. I want to get strong. I want to empower women. So they all tie into each other. And that is my reason why. But you might be listening to that thinking, oh, that's not my reason why. Like, I don't want to do it for that. Like, I want to do it because I'm going on a holiday in 8 weeks. Cool, great. That is your reason why you're doing it in the moment. So when you understand, I'm going to say the word why again. When you understand why you're doing something, that'll help drive your own motivation to be able to do something. But
yeah, I think, again, everyone's why is completely different. My why when I first started going to the gym, I'm not going to go down the whole ECC and give you the whole emotional spiel route of when I was as a child. But basically, mum said to me, you look like Skin and Bones in that new Nike Pro Top.
Yeah.
that's what triggered my training when I was about 15. And that's why I first got into the gym. So that was my why of my starting point. My why now is obviously a lot different as I've matured through my training. And it's now purely because I actually love the way that it makes me feel. So mine's really intrinsic. So the way that I feel when I'm lifting, the way that I feel after I finish the workout, like I feel great from it. I feel stress relief. It makes me look better, so I feel better.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the gym or out the gym. So my why has changed a lot. And for me, it's obviously always important to think about that, which I don't think people do a lot of. And again, that sort of ties in very nicely to where, how, when you are setting your goals.
Yeah.
So we are massive advocates of setting goals or targets. But one of the big things for me is, and when I'm talking to clients or any other people, is that, yeah, it's always important to have that goal. It's always important to have that endpoint and to be, yeah, I want to look a bit like this. I want to be like that. But you've got to think, even if I never ever get to that position, I've got to enjoy the process of never getting there. Yeah. I know that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow, but if you can enjoy that process, it's 10 times more rewarding than just turning up every single day thinking, oh, fuck me, I've got to go in and do 10 to the bicep curls, and 6 deadlifts, and whatever it is, whatever that process is, once you enjoy that, you get better results from it anyway because you get a lot more enjoyment from it and you'll be more motivated.
And you're naturally, when you enjoy something, so I love my training and my clients love their training and everyone in the school loves their training because they're doing something that they actually enjoy. They're not forcing themselves to go to the gym to do a session they don't enjoy. They're mixing things around, they're doing different sports, they're trying different things, they're getting their neat up, they're maybe trying a WOD, a CrossFit class, they may do, I don't know, Zumba, whatever it is. They're doing something that they enjoy so much that it keeps them accountable because they can't wait for their next workout or their next session or whatever it is. And I actually think that's similar with nutrition. If you're eating foods you enjoy, you're following a nutrition plan you enjoy, you can request one on my coach school, by the way. If you're following a nutrition plan you enjoy and you've got the foods in there that you like to eat on a daily basis, you'll stick to that plan a lot more.
Yeah, 100%. And that's obviously, there's two different variants with being goal-orientated and being process-orientated. I think there's a certain aspect that, yeah, you do need a bit of each. I believe goals are often what are the action starters. Mm-hmm. So they kickstart an action. They kickstart you to get into the gym routine. They kickstart you to do something positive, a new behavior, whatever it is. And then being process driven is what really solidifies those habits, those processes and those values for you to stay strict to those guidelines and keep that effort going when things get tougher. So that's the big thing when it comes to being goal driven, is that obviously one, they have to be achievable. I'm a big believer in obviously overachieving, so I don't believe in kind of setting little goals so that you feel better from it and go, oh fuck me, I can't find me to do something. No, bullshit. I think it's better to set higher goals so that even if you do underachieve, you're still achieving something that's great and something that's massive.
Yeah.
So
The way that I do it is I will set myself short-term goals, so things that I want to achieve in maybe 5 to 6 weeks' time, but they're underlying the bigger goals. So just to give you an example, I'm going through a strength phase at the moment, 5-6 weeks, because I want to get strong as hell. But then it also helps my longer-term goal of body recomposition and that whole idea of empowering women, because I'm like, yes, women, you can go in the gym, you can lift those pieces of iron off. There's no reason why you shouldn't be in the gym, X, Y, and Z. So I like it when they all fall into place and your goals match up with each other as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. That obviously comes down to accountability as well, which is massive for motivation.
I'm results driven. Like if you do want specific 100%. Results, it's so important. Like me and Ben, even though we're coaches, we also follow a program.
Well, let's look at what the most demotivating thing is. What is demotivating to people? Demotivating to people is working your tits off for 8 weeks, dieting, training, sweating, whatever it is, and then getting no results at the end of it. How demotivating is that to then go, oh, I'm just going to start again? And obviously it puts you off doing any other training regimes or diets probably ever again because they've got a crap result from it. Obviously there's a lot of different factors which probably tie into that result, but the main thing is making sure that you're doing something that is results driven, that you are going to get something from. And that's why, again, sort of plug, we have 20,000 members on the My Coach School who have all had amazing results. So we know that the process works. It's just about getting accountability from each and every person and how they stay motivated.
Yeah, so that's like, for example, for myself, I will not ever go into the gym and do an arms workout. I will not go and do bicep curls and tricep extensions in the gym. I used to do it like 3 years ago and I used to dread that session. So the whole session for me was just terrible. So now I incorporate those into pull and push and I find it much more enjoyable. Same as cardio, I'm not one to go on the cross trainer or the Stairmaster. I just don't enjoy it. So instead, I will do WODs, I will do circuits, I'll make sure I hit 10,000 steps a day. So don't be a sheep. Mm-hmm. Don't just do something because you think you have to do it even though you hate it. There's so many different forms of exercise and there's so many different things you can do for your health. You have to find what motivates you, not what demotivates you.
Yeah, so you're talking about enjoyment, aren't you? So when it comes to enjoying your session, obviously when you're looking back at what demotivates you, if you're in a position where I've got home from work at 6 o'clock, the kids are at home, I've got to do the tea, got to do this, blah 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 blah. The last thing I want to do is go to the gym. If you've got a shitty routine or program that you think, oh, I really can't be off doing that, I can't be off going and doing 60 minutes on the treadmill, or half an hour on the elliptical, or half an hour around, whatever it is, you're going to put yourself off from going anyway, so it's naturally going to affect your level of motivation. The thing is, with that, on that note, is yes, going to the gym some days is going to be hard. I'm going to be the first one to admit that I'm not motivated to go and smash a workout 100% every single day. And the people that say that, bullshit.
There's no human who can be
100% of the time to go balls to the wall and smash the shit out of it. No, mate, you're fucking chatting shit. I apologize for swearing, but it annoys me because, and it's those like Instagram videos or YouTube videos that you see where it's like, motivation video, do it. Sometimes it's good to attend, but you got to understand that everyone has days where they are demotivated, and they're the days that really matter. So on those days, know that yes, you're going to be in that mindset of can't be arsed, feel like shit before you go. You probably are going to be on the way to the gym, driving there or walking there, feeling like shit, and yeah, can't be arsed going. You probably will get to the gym and even feel like I can't be arsed being here. But how do you feel after you've finished that session?
Yeah, that is the most important. Amazing. You feel amazing. You've obviously had serotonin flying around your body. You've done something that you didn't think you could do.
Yeah, and now,
which is obviously an achievement.
How do you feel? You didn't bother to get in your car, you didn't bother to drive the gym, you didn't bother to do the session. How do you now feel?
I feel like a couch potato.
Yeah, so you feel even worse. So all you're doing is highlighting the fact that you can't be arsed and you feel like shit, and it's going to be even worse. It's hard to get back into that habit and routine of going the next day and the next day after that.
Yeah. One thing that me and Ben do sometimes, actually, because our motivation kind of crosses with each other, I think it's because we're together so much, but if we've written a session, for example, and we're just not in the mood to do it, we'll do something completely different. We'll do something like crazy, like a crazy workout or something super high volume, or we'll go for a run together. And it's understanding your own body and your mind as well, and doing what you are going to enjoy at the end of the day.
Part of that is maybe scheduling time for motivation, because it's not always going to just turn up like I don't know what I'm trying to compare it to. It's not going to turn up like smack you in the face and be like, oh, here I am.
Yeah.
Motivation, you sometimes have to schedule time for. So you can't be like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym when I feel motivated today. It doesn't work like that. You need to set habits and routines up and schedule it, because then you'll be motivated to go. If you've got a time, like, right, tonight, we're going to the gym tonight, Dave, and we're going to bang the shit out of you tonight at 5 o'clock. Yeah. And you're motivated to get near that. When you get near that time, like, right, we're really ready. Mm-hmm. Get the coffee out, pre-workout out. I've got a program ready. I'm motivated to go. If you just go, oh, yeah, I'll just go when I feel like it. It's difficult to create those habits and routines.
And that's why I think habits are so important. I actually think we'll do a whole other podcast on creating habits and how these habits over a long period of time can actually create success, because we have habits every single day that we do. So for example, we'll wake up at the same time every single day, we'll have our coffee, we'll make the bed, we will train, we'll write a daily email, we'll do some sort of piece of content, and that is something that we do every single day. Mm. And they're absolutely key in our motivation as well, because we know that doing those things, maybe not immediately we'll see a result, but over a longer period of time, a couple of months, maybe a year after you've been doing it, you'll feel absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and that's why routine is key, because it's going to help with a lot of things in general life by having those routines set, not only with the gym, but obviously it's going to help to exercise more consistently. It's going to help you be more creative in day-to-day life. It's going to help you stay stress-free, relieve a little bit of anxiety, which is a massive one. And it's also going to help you sleep better for having a routine as well. And these are all going to be things that will affect your health and fitness. So it's important to get your pre-game routine in there for you to stay motivated. Because even sometimes when I had those days where I'd be motivated, what I'd sometimes do is I'd would flick onto YouTube and even watch a workout that I was going to do, or I'd watch an Instagram video that I was going to do, and I was like, yeah, I'm fired up to go now and lift some shit.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we've all done that at some stages, and it's whatever works for you. And I feel like that is motivation and drive in a nutshell, unless you have anything else to add.
Yeah, the one thing that I quickly wanted to touch on was more so the psychology of motivation.
It is Psychology University.
Yes, I went to University of Psychology. Unfortunately for you, who has to now listen to me ramble about it. But the big thing is obviously habit formation. And like I was speaking about before, your pre-game routine is creating these pre-game routine habits of what you do maybe before you train. So like I was speaking about, you might put a time on it, you might then have a pre-workout, you may then have it written down, and you might fill it in as you go through a workout, so that you are primed and ready to go into that workout. Because as I say, you can't just sometimes flick it on and off as you want. Even athletes don't do that. Most of them, if you look, will have a pre-game or pre-habit routine of reminder, a routine, and then importantly, what I want to move on to next, reward. I think that's a big thing that a lot of people forget. And I used to do this in real subtle ways with some clients when we were doing a one-to-one basis. At the end of a workout, a lot of them couldn't understand, oh, why the fuck have I got a Pop-Tart or a Mars bar after my workout? Mm. Isn't that counterproductive? No, because you're probably going to have sugars or some kind of carbohydrates after workout energy anyway to replenish glycogen. So having it from a Mars bar, 200 calories, it doesn't really matter. If anything, it's good just to maybe spike insulin a little bit and help with protein synthesis after you finish training. But more so for me, that is a massive reward after you finish training. You are positively reinforcing that behavior by having a reward afterwards. I'm not saying it's going to work for everyone, but it was something that I trialed with clients and it worked really well, and it also created more balance within the diet. Positive reinforcement in regards to behaviorism is one of the biggest ways to reinforce those habits and those behaviors, because as we know, me and you've spoken about before, negativity or punishment doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
That's why we have the biggest reoffending rate in the world in regards to prisons and people going back into prisons, because negativity or punishment, which a prison is just a prime environment for people to do worse.
Yeah.
Like, it's not making people any better, so they're going to reoffend. So I, in that context, if you are someone who skips the gym all the time or doesn't want to go to the gym or go to the gym and hate it and you don't really have any reward, you're just going to reoffend and not go, and it becomes a bad behaviour pattern and habit rather than a good one. So I think positive reinforcement is really, really big, and we do this in a couple of different ways, don't we?
We kind of do it to each other as well. So you've been really amazing with me the past 5 weeks. I've been focusing on strength. And every time I hit a PB, you literally go crazy for me. And that for me is a massive positive reinforcement, because I'm like, yes, I feel good. And things like that. And that's why I actually do think performance goals are really important in terms of like setting yourself goals
massively,
for a weight to lift. Because when you hit that, even if you don't have a bend to say, absolutely well done, you yourself know you're positive reinforcing yourself because you've hit a goal that you wanted to achieve.
I think with that as well, we always go out every weekend. I'm love like a
party
Saturday
date night
where we go out and have some pick and mix. We go out and have some decent food. We've had a good week training, work, consistency, and reward that. It's not about cheat meal, smash as much shit as you can, because again, I think that can create bad habits. But we're not going to move on to that too much. But I think that on a Saturday, if you're not going OTT, it's just a positive reinforcer for all the hard work that you've done that week. And now, you've had a bit of chill time and you're ready for Monday again, because you've had that time to relax, reinforce those behaviours, feel positive, and now you're motivated to go, boom, I'm going to smack you in the face Monday.
Yes, and that is what we're going to end the podcast on. Boom, smack you in the face Monday. We really, really love seeing all your tags with the podcast and everyone sharing the love on Facebook. We really appreciate all your reviews as well. So
that's the big one, review.
Yeah, spare a few 2 seconds to leave review. We'd really, really appreciate it.
And another big one, I know a couple of people have been doing. If you get any benefit from this podcast, you think it's a great podcast, why wouldn't you? Then please copy and share the link to any friends who may ask for a podcast or may be interested, or it may even help in some degree.
Yeah, 100%. As always, we will see you in our next podcast. Bye-bye. Bye, guys.